The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Darren Owen to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Wednesday. We've got action at Lingfield, Ludlow, Newbury and Kempton Park on Wednesday. Throughout the day, you'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio. But in the meantime, I'm Alex Dunn and this is Darren Owen.
Yes, hello Alex.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, shattered.
Yeah, you've had a bit of an eventful morning, haven't you, Wizard?
Shattered and feel a bit of a prawn, really, because I called the RAC out this morning. My car all of a sudden stalled in reverse mode and I couldn't get it started again. And I was probably doing something stupid. And anyway, they came out and started first time.
Gave it a wind off.
I just feel a bit of a prawn. Don't know whether I'm coming or going at present, with Christmas coming and running around organising things and working in between.
It's a little bit busy, isn't it?
It's all go. And then nothing happens in January.
No, that is true. Got some good racing to look forward to on Wednesday. We'll just start by just having a little bit of admin. Front page of the Racing Post on Tuesday. Franco Di Torri saying that the thought of retirement was eating at Jamie. That's caused the news that Jamie Spencer has reversed his decision to retire. I've got to say, Wizard, I was a little bit surprised at that news. Because it appeared that he was sort of going out at the right time, if you like, while still at the peak, towards the peak of his career, if you like. And it may be now that it could be that he's resurgent. We've seen a lot of jockeys recently who have retired or taken time out, bounced back, particularly in the jumps game. We've seen Leighton Aspin and Ryan Manny, I think the last two national winning jockeys have both taken time out in the past. Of course, Ryan Manny has now retired once again. It's the kind of decision that, you know, he won't have taken lightly, will he? But nevertheless, is, well, as far as I was concerned, a little bit surprising. What are your views?
I was surprised. When the news broke 6 months ago, whenever it was, that he was going to retire. Mm. And I was surprised at reading the front page of the Racing Post yesterday. I was surprised on both counts. It's an interesting one. I mean, Jamie seemed to be adamant that was it. He wanted to spend time with his family. But, you know, there's a lure here. When you think about rides like Toast of New York, that may be one consideration. The horse was narrowly defeated in the Breeders' Cup, and Jamie must be thinking, you know, this horse is going to the top. I can ride this horse. And he's obviously going to pick up other decent rides from other stables.
Of course, not and contracted. Would he still be contracted to Qatar?
No, I don't think he is.
No.
But also, as flat jockeys go, he's still a young buck. Mm. He's still a, you know, fairly, you know, I'm not quite sure how old he is, but he's not ancient, is he? He's still at a tender age. I mean, the best way to describe Jamie Spencer, I think, as a racing observer, as a punter, is a quirky rider.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was going to say he's still riding very well, and he is in some races. He does have a tendency, doesn't he, to frustrate, because he loves to drop his horses out the back and sneak through the field. And when it comes off, it looks fantastic, and when it doesn't, it doesn't. But of the riders of his ilk, the type that do like to put them out the back, I'd say there's only Richard Hughes that is better than him.
Yeah.
At that kind of ride.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But no, he's quirky in his style of riding. He's obviously, looking at what he's done this, the decisions he's been making this year.
Only 34, by the way.
He's rather quirky. And as Jamie Spence, not Jamie Spence, as Richard Hughes said about Jamie, he's probably got at least another good 10 years, maybe 15 years in him at the top level, all things being equal.
Look at Mr. Fallon.
Well, precisely.
49.
You know, I mean, the likes of Carson, and old Piggott had a comeback, but the Carson, Piggott, Edry, Starkey, they all went to about 50, all the top jockeys of yesteryear, and there's no reason that this guy can't do the same, and he's got lots of good contacts. To what I thought was one great quote from Michael Buckley, the owner of Toast of New York. He said, "I'm so delighted he's carrying on, not just for Toast of New York, but any of mine he feels inclined to ride. He can even take over from Barry Geraghty, if he feels like."
I'd like to see that, wouldn't you?
Well, hey, remember...
He's ridden Cheltenham.
He won the Cheltenham Festival bumper. He's ridden winners over hurdles as well, as Richard Hughes has. I mean, Richard Hughes won the Irish Champion Hurdle at Leopardstown. Now, so... I was surprised that he made that initial announcement earlier in the year. I'm surprised he's made this U-turn. Good luck to the guy. He is a talent. Yes, a bit quirky, but he is a talent.
Just one other thing that we'll touch on. Jason Maguire, now contracted, isn't he, to ride for Paul and Claire Rooney, has a retainer with them. And, of course, that meant that he missed out on a Donald McCain winner at... It was a Carlisle, wasn't
Carlisle
it?
On Sunday. Day.
And it's something that I've picked up on in the last week, and actually had a bet on a horse based on the fact that Maguire was on it, and it wasn't for McCain, as it happened, neither of them won. But it's something that you can almost tie yourself in knots up about. Now that we know that he is, you know, well and truly retained, then that sort of explains a fair bit. But surprising.
Yeah, it was a head scratcher last week. I was scratching my head over this last week. I was at Newcastle. And
Paul and Claire
Rooney had two in the race, one trained by Donald and one trained by James Hewitt. He opted to ride the Hewitt horse. The Donald's horse won the race, both in the same ownership. He obviously felt that, you know, the other horse was giving him the best feel.
It's going to complicate things though, for punters.
It will at times. In terms of his relationship with Donald, I don't think it's going to make too much difference, because I think Donald is still the main trainer for the Rooneys as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, in terms of his working relationship with Donald McCain, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. It might, as you say, be a shade confusing for punters.
But of course, it's just great to see Jason Maguire back, isn't it, and healthy and riding at the top of his game once again.
Listen, this is a top jockey. I mean, this is a top jockey who, you know, he'd have been, in my opinion, you know, if I was somebody like Paul Nicholls, one of those boys down there in the south, he'd have been entered calculations for stable jockey or for number one jockey.
Which is very uncomplicated. How often do you see him make a mistake?
He always seems to be in the right place, and he's very ultra strong in a finish.
No, I agree.
Ultra strong.
Right, shall we move on to Wednesday's racing then? We've got three races that we're going to look at Newbury, and we'll start with the 12:40, a novices limited handicap chase. 3 miles the trip for this Class 3 event. 10 runners down to go to post. And it's a race that does have a pretty open look to it, Wizard. You've got a lot of horses that have showed decent recent form, easy for me to say. Manila Online, Khaki de la Prix, up at the top of the weights. You've got to look at them and respect. And, of course, Gevrey Chambertin in there for David Pipe, badly out of form, but on the pick of his form, would easily win this one.
Yeah, but that's it. Can you trust him to produce his best form? He's one of these that blows hot and cold, Gevrey Chambertin. We know he's very, very talented, and I'm probably going to give him a swerve. I liked Khaki de la Prey last season. I was quite taken with Khaki de la Prey, Tom Simmons' charge, who has had the one outing.
It was a little bit disappointing, I think, at Exeter. But I've got to say, Tom Simmons is a trainer that I really, really like.
Yeah.
I think his horses remain a bigger price than they deserve to be in some pretty moderate races. I think he's pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah. How many starts has Khaki de la Prey had over fences?
I can tell you if you give me a moment. One, just the one. That was it.
Just one like it does. It's not obvious on the website you've got. You've got. And how did he jump that day at Exeter?
According to this, okay,
he was a hurdler last season.
Third. Yeah, I agree. And some of them make fantastic chases, and some of them just sort of never quite get there. But I think he's one that you've got to respect. There's two at the bottom as well: Viva Steve and Astigos for two. Well, Venetia Williams, it would be no surprise to see one win this off bottom weight for her. And Viva Steve might have had his chances now, but he's still consistent.
Precisely, yes. Venetia's Astigos, it goes in soft conditions as well. Mm. It just couldn't quite get to the leaders at Ascot last time. One I was drawn to was Chase the Spud. Chase the Spud of Fergal O'Brien's. And Chase the Spud last time up made all to win in really good style, I thought, at Exeter over the 3 mile journey. I like that performance. Mm. Squeak Corley, Alan Corley takes the ride. So I'm just drawn to Chase the Spud to follow up that win at Exeter.
Okay, fair enough then. So Chase the Spud, the pick.
Yeah.
In the 12:40. For what it's worth, I'm not going to tip Garki de la Prix, but I'm
interested.
Got to say, watch the trainer because he really is going places.
Yeah, and I'm interested in Garki de la Prix. Really interested in the horse.
Okay, so that's the main danger, but Chase the Spud, the pick in the 12:40. Next up is the 1:10. It's a maiden hurdle over the extended 2 mile trip, a class 4 event. 17 runners going to post here, Wizard. Basically, on flat form, there's a few that have to be respected. Communicator is one that stands out, was pretty smart for Michael Bell. AP McCoy and John Joe O'Neill teaming up with that one. You've got the likes...
Was it Andrew Balding?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And Michael Bell, yeah. There we go.
It actually made its hurdles debut when in the care of Andrew Balding at this track.
Behind... I tell you what, it's hard to find, Wizard.
It might have even been this race last year.
Let's have a look. Yes, it was behind Joss's Hill.
Behind Joss's Hill.
Second to Joss's Hill. Now, that form doesn't look too bad now, does it? It was indeed this race last year. I mean, you couldn't really ask for much more solid form, could you? And look what else is there, likes of Tikris. It's not... But, I mean, even Umbler Alarm was well beaten, but has made hay so far this season. As hurdling form goes, yes, you've got to go back a bit, but that's pretty solid, and we know how classy he was on the flat communicator.
Precisely. Now, another one to consider here would be the Rebecca Curtis runner. That's Beast of Burden, who absolutely hacked up. That was in a bumper at Force Lass.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're dealing with a different type here, a horse that's come from the bumper circuit. And
very much could be anything as well.
Precisely. I am drawn to Communicator. The one reservation I've got over Communicator is the stable.
Uh-huh.
And their form.
Not firing, are they?
They're not firing on all cylinders.
Last winner, crikey, we're going back a long way here. But last winner was the 19th of November, Mont Royal for Richie McLernan.
And that
Warwick.
I find that really, really disturbing.
Well, it's the kind of John Joe's, when his team are firing, you could almost just back them all, couldn't
you?
But when they're off form, they are badly out of form. And no matter how strong AP McCoy is in the saddle, if the horses aren't going, then...
We can't get off and carry the horse, can he?
Well, if anyone
well,
can.
I'm going to take a chance with Beast of Burden
okay. On
its hurdles debut, because it was really impressive at Force Lass.
Yeah, certainly interesting.
And Davy Russell
very
riding it.
To see him making more and more trips over here, mainly for Rebecca Curtis.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, certainly one to monitor. But Beast of Burden to pick.
But I think another day for Communicator.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe when the stable are in better form. For Communicator, but Beast of Burden the pick there. The final race we're going to look at, is it the 2:15?
Have a look at the 2:15, just the four.
Just the four runners going to post for this graduation chase, 3 miles the trip, for the Class 2 event, but I'll tell you what, only four runners, but we're not lacking in quality here. Walk On, likely to be very, very popular, and deservedly so, for Alan King and Wayne Hutchinson, but Paul Nicholls has one in here in Easter Day. You've got Masters Hill, who shouldn't really be good enough for this, but he's still a likeable type, and Tinker Time's been in good form as well. Easter Day and Walk On, the two market principals, returning from layoffs. That could be key here, just as to which one is most fit. I mean, we've got Ken Pitterson will be at Newbury for us tomorrow. He could make the difference here, couldn't he?
But both stables are getting the winners.
Yes.
I'm drawn to Easter Day of the two. When last seen, Easter Day was... in the winner's enclosure, that was at Ascot in a similar sort of race. Mm. I just think of the two, I think Easter Day is the horse that's likely likely to go further than walk on over fences. Walk on is a 9-year-old basically now. I think Easterday's got that a more progressive profile.
Of course, walk on last seen in the National.
In the National,
going back a while, pulled up there, didn't really run that well. Was hampered and just never really going. Basically, but on backlash, you know, would have a say. But
of course, he would.
You have to go back quite far now, though.
Yeah, you know, and I just think when it comes to thinking about this race and the future, I just think Easterday's got that more progressive profile. So I'm going to side with Easterday.
Okay, the younger horse there, then, in the 2:15. Great stuff, Wizard. Can you just spin us through your three picks at Newbury on Wednesday?
We'll go for Chase the Spud in the 12:40, Beast of Burden in the 1:10, and Easterday in the 2:15.
Lovely stuff. Enjoy the action.
Right, cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.